Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The first stanza of Psalm 61 has to do with sorrow and what sorrow requests from God. The second stanza has to do with what sorrow realizes. We're talking about sorrow, but the sorrow we are talking about today is sorrow that is influenced and informed by faith. Influenced and informed by faith. This kind of sorrow is different from the sorrow that the world feels. This kind of sorrow hurts, but it hurts with hope. It hurts with hope. This kind of sorrow knows that there is a sovereign God who controls all the paths of life. As the sorrow that is influenced by faith deals with the heartache and heartbreak it faces, the sorrow that is influenced by faith stops to consider that its present needs rest on God's past performances. What he has done for the saints in the past reminds us that he can do it now, regardless of the present circumstances. Let me say that again. As the sorrow that is influenced by faith deals with the heartache and heartbreak it faces, the sorrow that is influenced by faith stops to consider that its present needs rest on God's past performances. A realization of God's provision. David says, thou hast need a shelter for me. Thou hast provided a shelter for me. Thou hast been a shelter for me. A shelter is a place of refuge, of safety, of protection from the storms, from the danger, and from the pain and heartache of life. A shelter. David looks back over his life and he remembers the times when sorrows and troubles stalked him. He remembers God giving him victory as a boy over a lion and a bear. He remembers God giving him the victory over a giant. He remembers God sheltering him from the murderous rage of King Saul. He remembers how God delivered him from the wrath of his own son Absalom. David remembers that in every trial he ever faced, God provided him a place of safety and protection. Based on God's past performance, David is saying that God will not fail him now. For you have been a shelter for me. God has also been a strong tower from the enemy. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. The word tower carries the idea of a high citadel, a place above the fight and the fray. It can also refer to a raised bed. David's point is that though, or I should say through, all the attacks, the battles, and the sorrows of his life. God was with him, and God provided him with a place of protection. God provided him with a place to which he could flee. God gave him a place that was beyond the reach of the enemies that he faced in life. There is a sense in which God gave David a raised bed, a place of peace in the day of battles. What I'm trying to say is that sorrow that is influenced by faith looks back. It realizes that the way God has worked in the past is an indication of how he will work today. Faith-informed sorrow knows that God never changes. It believes Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." I change it not. Our God changes not. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. David looked at the past of the way God has dealt with him before. God has always worked in powerful ways in the life of David and in his people. From how God saved us by his grace to the way he has supplied our needs day by day teaches that he has the power, he has the ability, and he has the will to help us through the sorrows that we face every day that we live. Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And notice what that says, supply all your needs, not all your greed. Sometimes that's where believers get a little messed up. They think that says that God will supply all their greed, whereas it's, "I will supply all of your needs." Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" In your own time, you can read all the way down to verse 34. And the point of it is, consider the lilies. Consider what God has done. If God so clothes the grass the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I feel that many of us are guilty of that, of little faith. We forget all that the Lord has done. That's why the word "remember" is used so often throughout the scripture, by all throughout the Old Testament. You read it over and over. The Lord continually was telling the Jewish people to remember. Remember when God, remember when God, remember when God. Back to Psalm 61, verse 4, "I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Because faith-informed sorrow has poured out its request to God, and because it realizes that God is able to deal with the problems of life, faith-informed sorrow resolves to live in light of what it knows to be true. David tells God that he will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, David was not a priest. He was not allowed to live in the tent of meeting. David was not thinking about that physical tent in Jerusalem. He was thinking about God's eternal abode in heaven. The word "abide" means to dwell as an overnight guest. David is saying, "I can't live in that tent down the road, but I can dwell with you. I can dwell with you." In other words, this is a commitment by David to live close to the Lord. He resolves to worship the Lord, to seek the Lord, to love the Lord, and to love for the Lord. Worship the Lord, seek the Lord, love the Lord, and to live for the Lord. The picture here is of a man who is hurting. Yet, in the midst of his pain, he knows that God is working on his behalf. He does not have all the information about what God's going to do, but he is determined to honor the Lord with his love, with his worship, and with his life. That's the same attitude that we witness in the life of Job. Job 1:20-22. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. This should be our resolve as well. There will be times when your heart is breaking. But if you belong to Christ, he's working in your life to accomplish his will. He's ever working for your good and for his glory. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Our duty, brothers and sisters, is to trust him regardless of the circumstance. Regardless of the circumstances, we have to determine in our hearts that we will commit all that we have and all we are to. We must resolve to praise him in spite of how we feel, what we think, or how things look. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Completely opposite than the way that the world thinks. David also was finally says in Psalm 61, that I will trust in the cover of his wings. I will trust in the cover of his wings. Or as it says in some translations, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. That word, it means a covering, a hiding place, a place of safety. It is the picture of a chick hiding underneath the sheltering wings of its mother. When danger appears, the mother hen stands and allows the chicks to run under her. She settles down on top of them and protects them from anything that would threaten them. If they are to be reached, the danger must go through the mother. The story's been told that there was a fire and a woman found a hen that had been killed in the fire, and they moved her body, and when the body was moved, the chicks ran out from underneath the unarmed. That's what's coming across in this text. I will trust in the shelter of thy wings. David expresses his confidence in the Lord. He sets his hope in wings that are far greater than those of a mother hen. It may be that David's referring to the wings of the golden cherubim, which overshadowed the mercy seat in the tabernacle. David resolves to cast himself completely upon the grace of God. trust in the Lord to sustain him, to help him, to keep him. He resolves that regardless of what comes his way, he will run to God and he will trust the Lord to shelter him and to protect him from the sorrows and the pains of life. This should be our resolve as well. We cannot protect ourselves. We cannot stave off even the smallest of troubles and trials. Like a chick facing a hawk, we're helpless before our sorrows. But there is a God in heaven who loves us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He died for us, and he rose again to give us life. And we rest in his grace and at the mercy seat. As part of his relationship with us, he has committed himself to our perpetual care. He is our beloved. I am my beloved's and he is mine. So instead of seeking to face the trials of life in your own power, we are to resolve to run to the Lord and look to him to shelter us from all that comes our way. David closes this psalm by expressing his confidence that the Lord will bless him in the future. He can see a time when the sorrows of this day will roll away and when he will walk in the blessing of the Lord. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So I will sing praise to your name forever. I just want to encourage you today, regardless of what you are facing today, or what may come into your life and all of your tomorrows, learn to rest in the Lord and trust him to do what is right. Will our God not do what is right, what is according to his will and that works for his glory? Inform your sorrow with faith in the word of God and in the God of heaven. If you can do that, then this psalm will be a sweet psalm to you. Lastly, the eagle has an extra eyelid. When he closes this lid, which filters out light, he can still see. But he is not blinded by the sun. When an eagle is attacked by a flock of other birds, the eagle will close the extra lid and fly directly toward the sun. His enemies cannot continue their pursuit when the eagle turns his face toward the sun. Brothers and sisters, do you get the illustration? Do you get the illustration? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, we are to look unto Jesus. We are to look unto the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And my friend, if you're listening today and you have never come to Jesus Christ, then there is no shelter for you. There is no refuge for you. You're left to your own wits. You're left to yourself. And the scripture says that you can never save yourself, that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ has come to save. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As I said, you cannot save yourself. You can ultimately never provide an atonement for your sins. For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ has become an atonement. He is the propitiation. He has satisfied the wrath of God. For even in this world, if you had very little sorrow, there is a sorrow for all eternity for those outside of Christ. So my friend, I would beg with you and plead with you to come to Christ today for eternal life. And if you do, you shall be saved. And Christ will become that refuge that I spoke of, that shelter that I spoke of. He will become that strong tower to you.